So Acts chapter number 16. We're going to be looking at the first half of Acts 16 today. And we're going to be considering something here. Have you ever wondered about how to know the will of God for your life? And I've been asked this question many times. I have asked this question myself several times. And so today we're going to see Paul seeking God's will. And hopefully we're going to learn a few things, maybe answer a few questions. I will say ahead of time, this is definitely not an in-depth study. You'll be glad for that after having an in-depth study for the first service, right? So not two of them in one day, so we'll keep it simple today. And anyway, first I want to kind of look back over where we've come over the past couple of weeks to give us a proper footing. Remember that we seen a few weeks back the simplicity of the gospel and the simplicity of the churches that Paul and Barnabas had planted, right?
Right.
Then after that, we looked at keeping it simple whenever legalists were attempting to complicate the simplicity that was in Christ,
right,
and add in law and works and all kinds of extra things to the Christians and the churches there in that area. Last week, we considered keeping it civil as Paul and Barnabas had a disagreement on opinions and preferences. And we're often going to come up with disagreements on opinions and preferences. You'll like it one way, I'll like it a different way, and then we've got to figure out how to deal with that.
Yeah.
As Christians, we've got to keep it civil, right? And because we don't want to knock down drag outs in the church car park, we don't want to, you know, we laugh, but it happens. We don't want that. And so we looked at that last week, and often I've thought of that as being a lack of a compromise, that both of them stood stubborn and hard-hearted, but as we found last week, they did have a compromise, and they worked it out between the two of them, and they maintained their testimonies throughout it all and continued serving God. But throughout all of this, we can see that God was blessing and was directing. Even in their mess-ups and even in difficult situations, God was still orchestrating things. And I said last week that it was reassuring that we could see in this that God can bring good even out of our mistakes. Because, as I said last week, it wasn't God's intention, it wasn't God's will for Paul and Barnabas to have contention, was it?
Right.
To have strife. The Bible tells us that only by pride cometh contention. And so that wasn't God's will, but God still worked great things out of that and ended up with two missionary teams going different directions and still serving Him and seeing churches planted, people getting saved, and God glorified. It's a wonderful thing, even in spite of them. And so we need to remember with Paul that he was not super Christian. We often think of him being super spiritual, that Paul the Apostle had an extra measure of something that we can't have or we can't attain. And so somehow we put him on a pedestal. However, he didn't have it all mastered. Rather, he was in the same position as what each of us are in, just learning and growing as he went and figuring out the Christian life as he went.
Yeah.
So we need to be careful also that we never get to the place that we think we haven't figured out, that we haven't mastered. And I know this Christian life and I've got it all figured out. I know what I'm doing and I am a perfect example of Christianity for you. Don't ever get to that place.
No.
And by the way, I'm saying that facetiously. I definitely don't believe that about myself. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12 tells us, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall."
Yeah.
I've watched people get puffed up and I've seen them get the prop knocked out from under them.
Yeah.
It happens. So let's not ever be to that place. So let's read here in Acts chapter number 16. I'm just kind of laying a little bit of groundwork there. Verse number 1, it says, "Then came he," that's Paul, and he's got Silas with him, "then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were in Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and he took and circumcised him because he was of the Jews, because of the Jews, which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep, that were ordained of the apostles and the elders, which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith, and increased in number daily. Now that's great, isn't it?
Yes.
Deliver those decrees from Jerusalem that they didn't have to keep the law and become Jews. And so the churches were established. They were strengthened. And they increased. And by the way, it says that the churches were established in the faith and increased in number. So it seems almost as if the churches were increasing in number as well.
Yeah.
Multiplying churches, going out in directions there. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia, or however you want to pronounce that, in the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is of the city that is, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days, and on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, "If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And she constrained us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we pray today. Thank you for your blessings, Lord. We thank you for this passage of Scripture, for our time together. I thank you for these people gathering out here. I thank you, Lord, for their patience toward me and their love for your word and their desire to follow you and to hear from your word. We just pray, ask you to guide me and direct me this morning or this afternoon, Lord, in the things that I'm to say. Just show me, Lord, your will in this. And Lord, I pray, ask you, Lord, just to touch hearts and lives and give us clarity of mind concerning following you and allowing you to lead us, Lord. And Lord, be with those who aren't here today, watch over them. And Lord, just thank you so much for all you do. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen. So a lot has happened in this passage of Scripture that I read this morning or this afternoon. I know there was a lot of traveling here. There's a lot of names that I mispronounced. If anyone can do it better, I invite you to try. And so as Paul and now Silas is going about, we find that they picked up Timothy and Lystra, and they're traveling, trying to continue serving God, right? And we've seen, we've seen how they had worked and they had reinforced and encouraged these churches as they went along. And it only really made sense, right? But what jumps out to me in this passage is that if we look at verses 6 and 7, or even 6 through 8 really, that Paul didn't know what to do. Did you catch that? Paul tried to go one way and God said no. He tried to go another way and God said no. And so he's just randomly wandering around trying to figure out where to go.
Yeah.
Have you ever been there? And so he didn't know which direction, what to go. He didn't know what the will of God was. And so if you're like me, you think, well, a mature Christian like the Apostle Paul should know God's will before going forward, right?
Yeah.
And he should be able to go forward confidently.
Right.
It's not what was going on in verses 7 through 9, or 6 through 8, I believe it was. He wasn't going forward confidently knowing what God wanted him to do, was he? And so, if you're like me and thinking that he should know what he's doing, then like me, you're wrong. And most people, when seeking God's will, are looking for a plan. They're wanting everything nice and neat and labeled and laid out. They want a roadmap, right?
Right, yeah.
They desire to know the road ahead, and they desire maybe even a glimpse of the destination, right?
Yeah.
And so often, whenever we're looking for the will of God for our lives, We want it all spelled out. We want to see it ahead of time and see the plan.
Right.
Let me tell you this. This isn't how it works.
Right.
Not how it works. And so Paul definitely didn't have a roadmap. He didn't see the destination before he got there. He had no clue what God was going to lead him into.
Right.
And let me tell you this as well, that if Paul had known all the things that was going to happen to him, he probably would have stayed where he was at.
Right.
If he would have known ahead of time.
Yeah.
And likewise, if we knew everything that God had planned for us ahead of time, we probably wouldn't embark on the journey.
Right. You're right.
We probably wouldn't. We wouldn't know. We wouldn't, that seems like an awful big hill to climb, God. But God knows that we can do it with his help, one step at a time, right?
Right.
And so just looking back over this just a bit, after meeting in Jerusalem, Paul had a good idea of what he was supposed to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
He had to finish what he started. So he went back to Antioch. He delivered the news from the Jerusalem council. And he saw the church recover from that entire ordeal of the legalists coming in and saying, you've got to become Jews, you've got to keep the law, you've got to do all this. Yeah. He's seen the church recover from that. And so now he needed to deliver the letters also to the churches at Galatia because he knew that heresy was creeping into them as well. That's why he sent them the letter to the Galatians that we know is the book of Galatia, right?
Yeah.
Or Galatians. And so he had to go now. He didn't just have his letter. He had a letter from the apostles and the church at Jerusalem that people respected, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he could deliver that to all of them. And so that's what he did. And he went through and fought the heresy that was creeping in, and he saw more people saved and churches growing and more churches added. And so things were going very well. But he finished his job there. He got through all the churches of Galatia. He delivered the letter. He saw things were going very well for them, and so they didn't need him to stay.
Mm-hmm.
So where does he go from there? What was he supposed to do? If you have maps in the back of your Bible, you can look at this. But if you look at the region there surrounding, you've got Italy over here, you've got Greece, and you come around here and around the Mediterranean and the Aegean Sea and around into Israel and all the way down around through to Africa. And so there's kind of a crescent here.
Yeah.
And so the region of Galatia is in between, is sandwiched in between the Aegean Sea and Israel, kind of up in this little region here. And so as he's going around here, he tries to go into what they call Asia. That was to the south. There were large cities there. There was many people there. Surely it was God's will for him to go into Asia. Nope. Wasn't God's will. Well, if I can't go south, then I must go north. Because likewise, there's many cities and many people there. Surely it's God's will for me to go north into Bithynia. Nope. Not God's will for me to go there either. And so if he couldn't go north, he couldn't go south. He came from the east, right? So the only way that he could go by the process of elimination is go west. And so he takes off west until he comes to the Aegean Sea. And he gets another roadblock because he's went west and still hasn't figured out where God wants him to be yet. And he's sitting there at the Aegean Sea and the road's completely blocked there. He's got that barrier and he just can't get anywhere. Have you ever been there?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Every direction you go, it seems like God's saying, nope, not that way, not that way, not another way. And the doors are all closing everywhere around you. And so on top of all this, Paul is leading Silas and Timothy, probably others. They're probably traveling and growing tired of traveling. And at every road sign, I can imagine Timothy and Silas saying, how about that place? How about that town? Why don't we go to that one? And Paul still says no. But he doesn't know where to go.
Mm-hmm.
Put yourself in Timothy's place. He's like, I've heard all of these stories from Barnabas and Paul, even from Mark and all of their great adventures, and we're just roaming around. We're not getting anywhere. We're seeing all these places, but what happened to all of the great stories that we had heard?
Yeah.
It was exciting down in Galatia and delivering these letters and seeing the results, but now we're just wandering the desert. Felt like the children of Israel for 40 years, right?
Yeah.
And so Paul doesn't know where to go, and that I can imagine Silas and Timothy saying, everyone needs to hear the gospel. Just pick a place, Paul. There isn't a wrong person to share the gospel with, is there?
No.
How about this town? How about that town? No, not that one. And so I can guarantee that he probably battled thoughts.
Oh, yeah.
Many thoughts whenever he was in this place of decision. He might have battled thoughts of the expectation of the church in Antioch because they sent him out, right? They were proud of him. They were celebrating him. They were saying, here, Paul, go and plant more churches, do more things. And he's imagining them saying, Paul, we sent you out. You said you're going to plant churches. You were going to see people saved. What are you doing roaming around aimlessly?
Mm-hmm.
Get to work, Paul.
Yeah.
Send what we sent you out to do.
Right.
This is the thoughts that's going in Paul's mind, I can imagine here. And so if I were Paul, my mind and my heart would be troubled.
Yeah.
And I figure he probably was at times. But I also know the enemy. And I'm sure he worked tirelessly and endlessly in Paul's mind, bringing up multitudes of questions and doubts.
Right.
But yet Paul trusted God and he desired to do God's will.
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever been in that place where you didn't know the next step, there has been thoughts. There have been questions. There has been things that the enemy puts in there to cause you to struggle.
Right.
That's what happens.
Yeah.
And you feel as if you're pulled in all directions and don't know which direction to go in, right?
Right.
Guess what? You're not alone. You're in good company. Paul had that happen to him as well.
Yes.
So for you to think, and you fall to the lie of Satan, or even of Christianity, that you have to have it all put together, you have to all have, you have everything figured out, you have to have a roadmap and have everything planned, it's not so.
Right.
That's not the way it works whenever you're following God. And so we're going to look today at just a few of the things that we can learn from Paul's experience where he's trying to keep on track,
mm-hmm.
trying to keep following God. And hopefully there'll be some things that you can remember as you follow God and you determine to do his will. The very first thing, and like I said, I'm going to keep it simple here today, is that if you're going to find God's will and follow God's will, you have to want his will. That's simple enough, isn't it? I mean, it's very elementary. But you don't accidentally fall into the will of God. No one ever has.
Right.
Just dumbing along, oh, okay, and I found the will of God. That's not the way it works. There's people who go along, they have a fatalistic mindset. They think God's in charge. God knows what he's doing, and he's going to make his will happen in my life no matter what I do. No. It doesn't work. It has to be intentional. You have to desire it. There are those also that don't care if they're in God's will. They have their own will. They have their own desire. Guess what? If you have your own plans and you are choosing your own plans, you are not going to find God's plan. If you don't desire God's plan, if you don't desire his will, you are not going to find God's will. Simple enough, right? God honors those who are truly desiring his will. Those whose honest heart prayer is, not my will but thine be done, are going to find God's will.
Yeah.
They are going to be directed. It's not as if God has put his will like a needle in a haystack that you've got to dig and search and scrimp and try to find it. That's not what it is. God is desiring for you to be exactly in the center of his will.
Yeah.
He's not hiding it from you. He's not playing games with you. It's not cat and mouse.
Right.
Okay? So if we desire it, if we want his will, we'll find his will.
Yeah.
In faith, we should know what God has for us is infinitely and eternally better for us.
Yeah.
Turn over to Romans chapter number 12. I think we're probably all familiar with this passage. But Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We often read 1. We never do read 2, do we? Romans chapter 12, it says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I've heard people try to preach that as saying that God has three different wills for your life. One that's good, one that's acceptable, one that's perfect. And if you miss out on the perfect will, then you get the acceptable one. You miss out on the acceptable one, you get the good one. It's like first, second, third place. No, that's not what that means. It means that the will of God is good.
Right.
Not only is it good, it is acceptable to you. You're going to like it when you get it.
Right.
and it is perfect.
Yeah.
That's the will of God. And so as we see here, His will is good, it is acceptable, it is perfect. And when we present our bodies, if we turn our lives over to Him,
yes,
we can prove His will, we can test it.
Right.
We can see that indeed it is good, it is acceptable, it is perfect.
Yes.
That gives us some incentive to desire His will, right?
Mm-hmm.
To desire to present ourselves to Him, to desire His will, because it is good, it is acceptable, it is perfect.
Right.
You're not going to come up with a better plan for your life than God has.
Exactly right.
Okay? That still doesn't help us find His will anymore, do it?
No.
Okay? So, we find here, you have to want it, you have to desire it. Paul definitely desired God's will, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was being sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading.
Yes.
He was in tune with God. You've got to be also in the right relationship with God.
Right.
Just as a side note.
Yeah.
We can't be out in sin. We can't be out living however we want to live. We can't be serving and pleasing self and expect us to end up in God's will. That's part of our desire. Our desire is toward God. If our desire is toward God, then we are going to be right with God. And if we are right with God, we are going to be able to be led by God.
Right.
Right? So the first thing is desiring it. The second thing is that His will won't always make sense. His will won't always make sense. We want the plan to make sense ahead of time. How many times have you sat down to make a decision? And the way your decision process went is you evaluated it.
Mm-hmm.
And you put all the pros on one side and the cons on the other side, and you decided which way makes the most sense to me.
Yeah.
God's will does not fit into that scheme.
Right.
That does not work in God's way of doing things.
Right.
Because usually it's not going to make sense. We don't weigh it out by the pros and the cons,
yeah,
at what makes sense to us. I pointed out several things during the introduction that did not make sense to Paul. All the towns that he passed on his way to Macedonia needed him. They could use a gospel witness, couldn't they? He could have stayed in the region of Galatia and worked in those churches that he helped plant because they were multiplying churches. There was lots for him to do there. He could have stayed in Antioch. There's all kinds of places he could have stayed that would have made sense.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes when it makes sense, it's comfortable.
Yeah, you're right.
Right? Keep that in mind. When we seek for our comfort, we're seeking for things that make sense, for things that we're okay with.
Mm-hmm.
God's will doesn't necessarily always make sense, especially at the time. And so we see that he could have stayed in all these different places. He could have stopped anywhere. There's plenty of places that needed him. And being an apostle, being the Apostle Paul, he should have had a better idea of what he was doing. That makes sense, doesn't it? And to see Paul just roaming around out there, where are you going, Paul? I don't know. What are you doing, Paul? I don't know. Where are you going to stop at next, Paul? I don't know. Doesn't make sense, does it? And so with Paul, it didn't make sense to him either. I'm sure that Paul questioned God several times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not a sin to question God.
Right.
God's big enough to handle your questions.
Yeah.
It's not even a sin to doubt Him from time to time. That's part of being a human being. And so anyway, I'm sure that Paul doubted him. I'm sure that he questioned several times.
Yeah.
I can imagine Paul telling the crew, okay, guys, we're going to Asia. And they were all excited.
Yeah.
Like, okay, here we go. This is going to be another Galatia. This is another region. We're not talking about China and Japan. We're talking about Middle Eastern Asia. And so like, this is another region that we're going to. We've already went and put churches all over Galatia. Now we're going to do the same thing in Asia. This is exciting. And they start that direction, and then the Holy Spirit forbids them. And Paul says, hold on. Nope, not going there. Oh, man. Now what? Where are we going, Paul? I don't know. And so, as the Holy Spirit tells him, sorry, boys, nope, not going that way. They start toward Bithynia. That's going north. And they're planning, okay, another region. We'll be like Galatia. Going to do the same thing again. Paul says, nope. God won't let me go there either. So they're just, oh, man, now what? And so as they go west, they reach the Red Sea, they reach the Aegean Sea. And the question comes to their mind, okay, God, why would you lead us to the water? We're blocked again. This doesn't make sense, God. But they weren't the first ones that came to that conclusion. I already got ahead of myself there a moment ago. Moses did the same thing at the Red Sea.
Right.
You imagine all them going out of Egypt. And they go along and they're like, okay, we're going to get across the wilderness. We're going to go to this promised land. And then there's a sea in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
Roadblock.
Yeah.
But that was exactly where God wanted them, right?
Right.
And so whenever they got to the sea, it wasn't a roadblock. It was the next place they were going.
Mm-hmm.
Now, God didn't part the sea and have them walk across on dry land. That would have been cool.
Yeah.
He did that to the Israelites, right?
Right.
But for Paul and his bunch, he had a boat. But none of these things would have made sense to them. And so if you desire to determine to follow God with all of your life, it's not always going to make sense.
Right.
There's going to be times along the way that does not make sense.
Mm-hmm.
But it will in the end.
You're right.
And so, not long after me and Les got married, through a set of different circumstances, God led us to go to a church that was about 45 minutes from our house. Okay? 45-minute drive. We did that for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so, 45 minutes one way, and we were living in what's called in the States the Bible Belt. What that means is you can't drive 5 kilometers without seeing a church.
Yeah.
They're everywhere. Yeah. All different denominations, and oftentimes you're going to find several good churches.
Yeah.
Okay? And so we passed, I don't know, I could sit and count them up. We passed, I don't know how many churches to get from where we lived to getting to the church that God led us to.
Right.
Okay? That didn't make sense.
Right.
Didn't make sense to us, really. We're passing all these churches. Can't we just pick one? Why do we have to drive 45 minutes? But that was where God led us.
Right.
Many other people would look at us and say, "You're crazy. Why do you drive that far for a church?"
Yeah.
Didn't make sense. With us also selling a business that was doing very well, me quitting a job, us selling a home, to move to a country where we didn't know anyone, that doesn't make sense. People don't do that. Right? That's crazy. We had a lot of people tell us we're crazy. Didn't make sense to them. Be honest, didn't make sense to us either. But God had a plan. But see, the thing is, if we wouldn't have went to that church that He led us to,
you're right,
we wouldn't be here right now.
You're right.
And obviously, if we didn't sell everything and move here, we wouldn't be here right now either.
You're right.
And we're starting to see the end, not necessarily the end, we're just along the journey still, right?
Yes.
But we're starting to see where that led us to. Now it's starting to make sense.
Yeah.
And so there's all kinds of different times in our lives that things didn't make sense. Whenever Les and I got married and we started, we had a desire. We were going to start trying to have children, okay? And unsuccessfully, didn't work out. And that didn't make sense to us. But later on, we figured out why, and it all made sense in the end. God had a plan in all of it, right?
Right.
And so multiple times along the way, things did not make sense,
yeah,
but God was leading.
Yeah.
And so this is the hard part of following whenever it doesn't make sense.
You're right.
When you don't know what the next step is or where you're going, you can still trust God. You can still know that He is the one who's leading and that He will take you through. The third thing that we find about following God here, about God's will, is you're not going to get there if you worry about the opinions of others. If we become fearful or enslaved to others' opinions, we're not going to follow God's will. I just gave you several examples of things that don't make sense. And if we had caved to the opinions of others, we wouldn't be here today. Right? And there are lots of decisions, no doubt, that you've made that if you would have caved to other people's opinions or the pressures of society, you would not have made those decisions. And so this isn't to say that we are to press on stubbornly and refuse counsel from godly people who desire our best interests. That's not what I'm saying. There is a place to listen to others, to hear others. This is a matter of don't be fearful of others' opinions and their expectations. Because if you're in bondage to their fears and to their opinions, to their expectations, then you're not going to follow God. Simple as that. And so I've already brought up several things in Paul's life here that he would have faced all along the way that would have been fearful for him, would have been a temptation for him to give in to popular opinion,
mm-hmm,
to what people wanted of him.
Right.
Stopping at all these other cities, staying at different places, fearful of what does the church in Antioch think of what I'm doing?
Right.
Would have caused him to take a different course of action, right?
Yeah.
But if he would have stopped anywhere else along the way to please others, he wouldn't have got to where God wanted him to be.
Right.
And the story would have taken a very different turn.
Yeah.
The fourth thing that we see here is that God knows how to guide you. God knows how to guide you. There have been many times that I feared making the wrong decision. I'm bad about this because I'm very thorough in the way that I think things through. And I want to know everything ahead of time. God doesn't work that way. And so Les is laughing. She can think of several. But anyway, there's been many times that I fear making the wrong decision or that I might miss God's plan. But by the way, that does show that I was desiring God's plan. Not trying to lift myself up in that, but I was desiring God's plan and I was afraid that I was going to miss it. But over time, I've learned that God is big enough,
yes,
and He is wise enough to get through my thick skull what He wants out of me.
Right.
You know that?
Mm-hmm.
For us to think that we are big enough or dumb enough that God is not able to do something in our lives, that shows us that we are thinking way too small of God, don't we?
Yeah.
And so, He can tell me what He wants me to do. He can get it through to me if I desire His will and if I am willing to follow Him.
Yeah.
And so with Paul, God closed doors at least twice. Twice it's recorded.
Yeah.
And so how did the Holy Spirit forbid him? I don't know. He didn't expand on that, did he?
No.
He tried to go this direction and the Holy Spirit forbid him. Tried to go this way and he suffered him not, right?
Yeah.
Well, how did that happen? I don't know. But you know who did know?
Ooh,
Paul.
Right, that's good, yeah.
Paul knew.
Right.
He got it through Paul's head. So however it was that the Holy Spirit impressed upon him, not this direction, Paul. Paul said, okay, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
He understood it. And so, as another personal example, whenever Leslie and I first made our survey trip over to Ireland,
mm-hmm,
we had already made plans.
Yeah.
Okay? We made plans. We looked at a map. And we looked at the areas that didn't seem like they had any churches. And we picked one. Real spiritual, right? And so we looked at Sligo. Because according to the information that we had, Sligo is a pretty large city. Didn't seem to have a church in it. Or a good, solid Bible preaching church in it. So we said, okay, Sligo it is. We're going to Sligo.
Mm-hmm.
And so we came to Ireland the first time in 2015, I think it was.
Yes.
And we made it to Sligo. They're like, woohoo, we're going to the place. This is where we're going to live. And we get in Sligo, we get out of the car, and about immediately, the Holy Spirit says no.
Yeah, that's true.
It wasn't an audible no. It wasn't, how did he do it? I don't know. But I got the message.
Yeah.
Me and Les looked at each other and said, we've been telling everybody we're going to Sligo, and God just said no.
Yeah.
Now what do we do? And so we did what Paul did. We started roaming all over the country trying to figure out the right direction to go into.
Yeah.
We did. Now, we were driving instead of walking.
And we were upset.
And we were upset. And we were going in every city. We're like, what about this one? God's like, no, we're going in this one. No. And guess where we ended up at? Just take a stab at it.
Longford. About one street over.
One street over. We're walking down the street, and the Lord just starts kind of impressing on our hearts. And He's like, here. Les and I are just walking along. I said, I think this could be it. She's like, yeah, I think it could be. He was guiding it. He knew how to get it across to our hearts and our minds.
Right.
It wasn't some kind of weird, super spiritual, mystical encounter. There wasn't angels and sparkling and shining. It wasn't all this mess.
Yeah.
It wasn't visions of sugar plum things in my head. It wasn't. Sorry, that's the wrong kind of thing. And so the Holy Spirit, God Himself, knew how to work in our lives to direct
right.
our steps and to guide us.
Right.
And to get it through our heads. How it all works, I don't know, but He got the point across.
Right.
There's all kinds of times down through my life that there's been houses, there's been cars, many cars, but anyway, and jobs that we attempted to get,
you're right.
And God said no,
mm-hmm.
and closed the doors. Wouldn't happen.
Right.
And many of those purchases that I would have made would have strapped me so much in debt that I wouldn't be able to leave the life I had over there and come over here.
Right.
And so that could have changed the entire course. Jobs that I would have worked that could have taken me out of church, and I may not even be serving God today.
Right.
But God closes the door, would not allow me to enter in that door, so He could direct me where He would want me to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so He can get His point across. There's several decisions that Les and I have made that God dealt with Les, and He dealt with me
right.
separately.
Mm-hmm.
There's times I've been at work, and throughout the day, the Lord is just putting thoughts in my head and stirring my heart about things. And as I'm working through all this, I'm like, okay, this is kind of big, God. How do I talk to Les about it?
Yeah.
I go home and I say, hey, honey, we need to talk. And she says, is it about this? Yeah. Oh, God's been dealing with me too. Problem solved. That was the end of it.
Yeah.
That's happened on several occasions. And so God already had it all worked out.
Yeah.
And in telling all these examples, I'm not lifting myself up. I'm not lifting
right.
us up.
Right.
I'm telling you I've experienced this. And God knows how to guide us.
Yes.
And as I said already, it's not some kind of spooky or mystical experience.
Right.
It's just Him working in our hearts, in our heads by His Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
He knows how to get His point across.
Right.
The final thing that we see here is that it'll be worth it all in the end. As we're following Him step by step, allowing Him to guide and direct our paths, we're going to be happy with the outcome. Remember, it was His good and His acceptable and His perfect will.
Yeah.
It's acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to like it.
Right.
We'll be happy customers. Paul never considered going to Europe. And by the way, whenever he got into Macedonia, that is in Greece. That is part of Europe. A new continent. He goes from Asia to Europe. That's a pretty extreme jump, isn't it?
Yeah.
He never considered that, I don't believe. He was thinking too small, and we tend to do the same thing as what Paul did. And so he went on to start the church that was in Philippi, and he saw many people saved, and the Philippian church was a great church, huge church, many great things happening there, and it evangelized the entire region there.
Yeah.
And you find not only Philippi, you find Thessalonica, you find several other places within Greece. Within Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul was going to stay in Asia
mm-hmm.
or Bithynia.
Right.
God had a different plan.
Yeah.
And so something that's really funny here, okay? Or hopefully you think so. Whenever he gets to Philippi, in the final verses that we read here, he goes out to a prayer meeting on a riverbank. Apparently there wasn't even enough of a Jewish population to have a synagogue. And so they were going out to the riverbank to meet together, a bunch of God-fearing people. And so Paul and Silas hear about that and just go out to be with them on the Sabbath day.
Mm-hmm.
Normally they would go to the synagogue. This time they went out by the river.
Mm-hmm.
And as they began talking, they were talking to one of the women, a woman by the name of Lydia. Where was she from? She was from a, what is it?
Thyatira.
Yeah, she was from a place called Thyatira.
Mm-hmm.
Where's Thyatira? It's in Asia. The place that God told Paul, don't go there. I want you to go to Macedonia.
Mm-hmm.
And then reach someone from here over there.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, I know you're wanting to go here really bad, but I want you to go here. But just to put a little icing on the cake here, I'll give you a convert from there over here.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Paul wasn't expecting that one. First convert was from Thyatira. And so I think it might have just been a little message from God showing how he was putting it all together.
Yeah.
It's just kind of a little reassurance there. Paul, I've got it all under control. Look at what I'm putting together. Look at how I'm doing these things.
Mm-hmm.
Things would have turned out much differently if he had went east instead of west.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if instead of going to Europe, he would have went through to China, to the Asian countries? Head to China. Right? Things could have been quite a bit different, couldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Because Europe has played a great role in Christianity down throughout history, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a great impact that Christianity had on Europe. But what if he was content to stay in the little region that he was in and it never made it into Europe to begin with?
Yeah.
Big changes, right?
Mm-hmm.
But God had bigger and better plans.
Right.
So, in conclusion here, can God be trusted with your life?
Yes.
Yes, He can.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid to let the maker of the universe direct your steps.
Yeah.
I still haven't really answered the question of determining what God's will for your life is, because our desire is seeing the view ahead.
Mm-hmm.
You know how we determine the will of God for our lives? One step at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Following Him, right? It's revealed just one step at a time as we follow Him, trusting Him to guide each step that we take.
Yeah.
We're not going to see the big picture.
Right.
That's Him.
Yeah.
If He showed us the picture ahead of time and everything made sense, where's faith? There is no faith in that, is there?
Yeah.
if we look at it, God shows us the whole plan, we get a chance to evaluate it ahead of time and say yes or no to it. Is there any faith involved?
No.
There is no faith. And the Bible says that without faith it is impossible to please Him, right?
Yeah.
However, if He's just revealing the next step, that takes faith, right?
Yes.
I've heard it illustrated this way, and I've probably said it here this way before, but it's like driving a car at night with the headlights on. You can't see the entire way, right?
Right.
You just see a short distance ahead of you.
Mm-hmm.
But you can make it home that way, can't you?
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to see the whole path. And that's the thing. God is just illuminating the next step. Go this way.
Mm-hmm.
Go that way. And whenever you don't know what to do or where to go, keep following Him.
Yeah.
Allow Him to guide the steps. In Psalm chapter 37 and verse 23, it says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." That's God placing them. That's God ordering His steps. And the last part of that verse says, "And he," the man whose steps are being ordered, "delighteth in his way."
Mm-hmm.
God's way, the path that He's traveling,
yeah.
or that He's placing us on. We follow Him, we're going to delight in the way that He leads us.
Right.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight."
Mm-hmm.
You want to see God's will ahead of time? Not by sight. We walk by faith.
Yeah.
Allow Him to direct. Desire His will. When He closes the doors, don't pry them open. We try to do that sometimes.
Yes.
When He opened the doors, don't sit and stare at it.
Yeah.
Go through it. I've done that before. Trust Him. Follow Him. So just a few things to consider as we go through our week. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we come to you today once again. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for this passage of Scripture, Lord, and for the reassurance, Lord, that even the Apostle Paul didn't have it all together, that he didn't know the entire plan, but he just allowed you to direct his steps and to guide his path. Lord, help us to take this example and allow you to guide us, to direct us. In the times whenever we're unsure and uncertain, we would continue to look toward you, trusting you to direct our steps, to establish our goings, Lord. And look forward to what you have in store for us, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for being so good. Be with us throughout this week and help us to think upon you and grow in our walk with you, depend on you more and more, and be a witness to those around us. Now I do pray, Lord, that you be with our fellowship. I pray for your blessings on the food. We thank you for it. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. And amen.